believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, his only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Glory be to the Father. It was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let us bow in prayer. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are our shepherd. We know that Jesus epitomized the good shepherd. And we recognize throughout the literature of the Judeo-Christian tradition that we are shepherded by you, O God. We look to you for guidance. We look for you for ways to witness to your presence as leader, leader of the flock, leader of the church. We submit to you our wills, and you reward us by letting us see what you do by working through us. And yes, we are thrilled beyond measure to see the manifestation of your power and your glory through our efforts, and sometimes, of course, in spite of our efforts. So we thank you this beautiful day for giving us opportunities, opportunities to witness, to love each other, to love and to care for this church and for congregations everywhere, to love and to care for the people of God. Dear Lord, hear our prayers of confession. When we look at all the blessings you give us, when we see this beautiful, beautiful land in which we live, when we look at the gifts that you have given, simply because we're citizens of the United States of America, we confess we find ourselves unworthy to accept, much less to utilize, these wonderful gifts. We confess to you that we've not always relied upon you for direction. We confess to you that we think we are able to defend ourselves no matter what. And so issues flow in upon us instead of looking to you for prayer as you call for us to do. More often than not, we simply ratchet backwards, dig in, and defend ourselves based upon this world's ingenuity instead of your ingenuity from the other world. We also confess that we have committed sins. We have fallen short of your glory. We are not worthy to be called followers of Jesus. Hear now our confession of sin as we lift our sins to you silently. As we have confessed our sins, O Lord, absolve us from the responsibility of those sins. Take them away. Wash our souls that we may be clean once again and white as snow. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us a new chance each time we confess our sins and repent from them. O God, there are many persons that we need to be remembering in our prayers. The sick and the shut in, the folks who are lonely, others who have fallen on hard times. We pray for Linda and Tommy and others who are in the midst of dealing with illness, serious illness. And may they know that this church, their church, your church is solidly behind them and will always keep them in the forefront of our thoughts and prayers. We also pray for our country. We pray for the election process. And Lord, we beseech you, may your Prince of Peace and his Spirit touch all of the candidates, regardless of the level of balloting. We pray for the issues in the world. We read that tensions are heating up between our country and Russia. Lord, let us take this seriously. And may leaders in both countries recognize the potential of what they're dealing with. And may serious minds prevail. Now, all these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This time, I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward, have a picture to show you, okay? Are you cold today? Okay, I want to show you this picture. Look, what are these things here? Lambs. There's a black sheep too. How about that? Well, now look, who is this dude right here? A shepherd. Very good. And look, what's he got on his shoulders?
A lamb.
Well, what is this in his hand? What is that called? Look at there. It's like a big stick with a crook on the end of it. You see that? What's it called? It's a staff. But it's a shepherd's staff, and it's got a crook there. What do you think that crook's for? Suppose you were a lamb or a sheep, and you fell in a crevice. Or suppose you were leading part of the flock in the wrong direction. And the shepherd said, I've got to stop this. So he reaches down with his stick there and he puts the crook around the sheep's neck and pulls it back to where he needs it. So that's a crook. And that's to hook the necks of the lambs and the sheep. Well, what do you think this long part's all about? Well, it's a walking cane in one sense, but do you know what? Sometimes there were mountain lions that wanted to get into the flock. They wanted to have lamb for supper. Yeah. So what he would do when he would see this bad animal, he would take the end of that and he would poke them like this and get them away from him and save his sheep. Isn't that neat? So that's a shepherd's crook right there. Now, throughout the Bible, we find evidence that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are like that shepherd, that we are like sheep and we are supposed to go where he points us and where he leads us. Yeah. And so with Jesus being the good shepherd and we being part of his flock, we can't go wrong. can we? We'll be just fine. Let's have us a prayer, okay? Thank you, O Lord, for examples that show us how much you love us and how you love us. Let us always remember that Jesus is the good shepherd and we're members of his flock, and let us look to Jesus to know where we're supposed to go next. Bless us, O Lord. Amen. And thank you all for coming up. I didn't see your, hear your amen.
Amen.
All right, that'll work. Right on cue. Our scripture for today comes from two places in the Holy Scriptures. First, Psalm number 23, and then from John's Gospel from chapter number 10. So let us recite together. We know Psalm 23, so let us together recite that wonderful psalm, shall we? Will you join me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Hear again the word of the Lord, this the gospel lesson. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." Amen. And here in these readings from God's most holy word, let us bow in prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. That few verse description of controversy for Jesus there in the temple is the third time that the Jews are trying to tell him, "Come on, come clean, who are you?" And they're just direct this time. They says, "All right, if you're the one, tell us." And Jesus says, "Well, don't you know? Can't you tell the works that I do in my Father's name? Shouldn't that give you a major hint as to who I am?" You see, folks, they're talking past each other. The Jews thought Jesus, or the Christ, was going to be a political Messiah and restore the kingdom like David had it. But God has his options. And here is a basic fallacy that we make in being God's people. We think we're the ones to tell God how he should be. Yeah. "Now, God, if you do this, you're my God. If you're not, I'll just trash you and find another God." We don't get that crass, perhaps, but in a sense of the word, that's how we act practically. Because we want to program God. We tell God what we expect of God. And if he doesn't measure up, then God, sorry, I just lose faith in you. I'm going somewhere else to worship. But don't you see, if God is God, God has his own options. They may or may not include our advice through prayers. So God is going to be God, and God chooses who he wants to follow him. That's right. Chooses. The word is out there. The voice of God is calling, but God opens the ears so that all of salvation is God's. We can't save ourselves by good works. He allows us to hear his voice. He allows us to follow him. And that is what salvation is all about. So, the good shepherd speaks to his flock. The sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Now, the voice of God causing us to follow him is a most profound reality. I have a funeral this afternoon of a lady I've never met, but I've known her daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren very well for a very long time. You know, one of the psalms that we're going to use is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Because it is true. And this dear soul, she has all kinds of evidences in her life and what she read, how she related with her daughter, her husband, and her grandchildren. And to a person, as Friday, I went around the room, "Tell me in one word what you think of Jimmy, the deceased." And every one of them had Christ-like connotations. Every one of them lifted her up as a signpost, as an example. Every one of them could say that they saw Jesus in this dear soul's life. She heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, and she followed. And others followed her because they listened and were able to hear. So our favorite psalm, I dare say, is Psalm 23. I watched you as you recited. Very few of you looked at the board. You already knew it, didn't you? You could say it by heart. We sang a hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." That's a favorite hymn of the Scots. And when I served in Scotland my first year out of seminary, all I had to say, "The psalm is crimined." That's the name of the music. And people would close their Psalter books and they would put them in their arms like this. And they would sing like you won't believe, "The Lord's my shepherd." Like the very tune we just sang as the first hymn. So what is it about crimined that is so profound? What is it? Well, it describes in through David's pen, mind you. This is Old Testament, mind you, adopted by the Christians because Jesus said he was the good shepherd, and immediately the people hearing you would say, yeah, like in Psalm 23. So what is it? We say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's an affirmation of faith. That's what we did when we professed our faith in Jesus Christ, joined the church, so to speak, turned our lives over to God, however you wish to call it. We are saying that Lord Jesus is my shepherd. And then we continue on. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," and so on. "The still waters." This dear soul, I have read in what she gave me, her daughter gave me to read about her, the deceased, for this afternoon. She had a book, and it's marked heavily, about how she followed what she heard from God. And it fed her, the green pastures, the waters. Jesus allowed her to be fed. And she wrote about it, and she loved it. It was almost as if, you know, God wants us to do his work. But that doesn't necessarily mean getting busy with an office in the church. It has to do with one's soul. So we can ask ourselves, how is it with our soul today? Are you kind of ragged? I have been, not today. But you and I both know what it means to have a soul that's very, very ragged. Well, as the psalmist writes on, "He restoreth my soul." Think about the times when you were really down, you were fractured, you were torn apart, and you could even say when somebody asked you, "Well, how are you doing today?" "Well, I'm all torn up." That means the soul is torn. And who restores that soul? The Good Shepherd. "He restoreth my soul." Be sure, dear friends, and I'm preaching to myself now, that we write down the times when our souls have been torn. Describe what it's like to be ripped apart by whatever. But then describe what it's like to have the restored soul. What is it like to be lifted up? There's a church between here and Kingston, If I Be Lifted Up Church. You know where it is? Who lifts us up? Who lifts that congregation up? It's part of their name. The Good Shepherd does. And so when we are down, when we're down and out, we can remember the Lord is my shepherd, not the things that would
put me down and keep me down. The Lord is my shepherd. And he has promises that he gives to us when we let him be our shepherd. And one of them is profound. He restores my soul. Now keep this in mind, because life is really rough. It jerks us around unmercifully. And the older we are, the more we recognize that is so true. We're like pinballs in a pinball machine. You ever played pinball machine? When I was a little boy, there was a filling station a block and a half away from the parsonage. All it took was a nickel. So I would go up there sometimes when Daddy was working and Mama was teaching. Yeah, I snuck off. And I would go up there and I would play the pinball machine. I had a bunch of nickels. But do you know what? One day I scored 252 games on that pinball machine, and I had a problem. Because I was supposed to be at home by a certain time, and I hadn't played out all my games. You know what I'm saying? But I do know I had a very joyful time until I ran out of time. And then I turned it over to somebody else. But my point here is that there are certain things we can do to lift up our soul. Other things we can do to diminish and to tear up our soul. Make a list of what you can do to lift up your soul. And share them with people. Because this is what one can do. And for a 9-year-old boy, playing the pinball machine was pretty high. Especially since I got that many games. I don't think my parents found that out. But I just wonder what they would have thought when I told them what fun it was. And at least I was there in public and I wasn't getting in any trouble other than spending a few nickels. But it lifted my soul. I later found out that that was only temporary. It was as good as the time, and I ran out of time. But the Lord lifts our soul. He does it any way he chooses. And there are scriptures we can read. There are people we can turn to. We can telephone and say, hey, what's a good word? I'm really down today. Have you got a good word for me today? That sort of thing is exactly what the Good Shepherd leads us to do for the green pastures and the still waters, to restore our soul. But alas, life and death go together. Every one of us who is born, and all these wonderful cuddly babies that we see in our extended family, grandchildren, etc., etc., every one of them has an appointment somewhere down the road with death. And we don't want to think in those terms. We want to think of life, how wonderful it is. Virginia and I ate dinner last night, Gloria Jean's. It's a perfectly beautiful senior in high school that served us. Such a dear. And she was one happy soul. She's finishing high school in a few more weeks, but the crowning glory of her week is the prom is next Saturday. Oh my. So thrilled. How many of us remember our first prom? Do you? Ladies? Anybody? Was it thrilling? No, wasn't. Anybody have a thrilling night for the prom? Well, that young lady's going to have a beautiful, thrilling night. So I says, Maddie, so if we come to Gloria Jean's next Saturday night, does that mean you won't be here? Oh, no, I won't be here. Well, I will be here Sunday, though, so I have to come back. But the joyful thing and the great anticipation of a high and holy moment is something you can also share if that moment were high and holy. Keep sharing life. Because even in the midst of death, we have an answer to what's called the grim reaper, that all of us have to die. Even that beautiful young senior in high school, all of us. It is not pretty, it is ugly, it tears you apart. What can I say that's positive about death? Except that for members of the flock who have the good shepherd to be the shepherd, death is only a passage way. When we were born, there was a certain amount of pain involved, unless drugs were taken, of course. And when we die, there's a certain amount of pain involved. But each is an entrance to life. When we're born, we're entered into this life. When we die, it's the birth pains of the world to come. And the Good Shepherd shows us every step of the way how to do that. It's understood as an enemy. So David writes, "Thou preparest for us a table in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Wow. So here is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. I know you've got issues. I know you're going to die because I had to die. But we're going to have a table. It could be the Lord's table, communion table. It could be a feast table. And we're going to go on as if death is not out there. We're going to go on because we have an answer to death. And it's called Easter. We're going to go right along keeping the faith. And then the psalmist concludes, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Of course, today I'm preaching to the choir. You know this because we are all sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd. All of us know those grand and glorious promises that are ours. We hear the voice of Jesus. We know it's Jesus because he's called us to hear him. And we will abide step by step by step every day in this world and in the world to come. Why? Because Jesus is there waiting on us. And all those other folks who have gone before us through the portals of death, they are waiting for us. And what a day of rejoicing it will be when we all see Jesus and we'll see those folks who've gone before. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, throughout our worship liturgy, we have received from God all kinds of manifestations of his word, his message. Now we get to give back to God God's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you, O Lord, for all the blessings you give to us. Especially we thank you for money, for our yearn and desire to earn money, to spend money, to charge money, to buy things, but also to give back to you what is yours through your tithe and our offering. We beseech you, O Lord, to use this money to further your work here through this congregation and your mission and ministry throughout the world. Amen. The hymn is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. There may be those individuals who would like to come to the altar for prayer, perhaps those who'd like to profess their faith for the very first time in Jesus Christ, or to renew their profession of faith. If you'd come forward as we sing this grand hymn of the faith, we'd be very pleased to honor your desires. Know that Linda has surgery on Friday and that we are going to support her and Tommy in every way and certainly ask the surgeon's blessings as he performs what he needs to do with all the skill that he's trained with. Next Sunday, the superintendent will be preaching, so I hope all of you will come and give him a grand welcome. Virginia and I are going to make pastoral calls on the Hansards who live in Florida. Actually, we'll be on the ocean, so that's not too pastoral, is it? But anyway, we will be gone, and we'll see you 2 weeks from today. Now, will you receive the blessing? In peace, in joy, in thanksgiving, go forth, people of God. Go forth and let us support each other as members of Jesus' flock. And let us always be sensitive to his voice and go where he leads us. Go in peace. Thank you.